Well, I think what we need in these days more than anything else, at least I do, and that's encouragement. Some of us have been hearing for 30, 40 years about the manifestation of the sons of God. And some are getting mighty weary waiting for it to happen. Michelle, could you grab my Bible there? I know what I need more than anything else is encouragement. Yeah. And it seems like that's mostly what the Lord has been speaking to me is words of encouragement. And one of my favorite words of encouragement is found in Jeremiah 29:11. I share this quite often. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. And what I've been doing my best to do over the years is to encourage people to quit looking at where you're at today. And realize that where you're at today is really right where you're supposed to be. Because before the world ever began, God had a plan and a purpose for all of us. And we've all of us are just beginning, I believe, to realize that purpose and experience. Mm-hmm. Yet for the most part, we still look at the condition that we're in. Does anybody here feel they're a little bit perfect, maybe? Just look at your condition. And the moment that you look at your condition, you'll never reach perfection. Because perfection will never happen in the flesh. And I think we all know that because we're well experienced in trying to perfect the flesh. Yet there's still something in all of us, there's a real discouragement today in most people across the earth because, again, they know all of the things I'm going to share with you today. We all know these things. But knowing something can only be satisfying for a short time until you begin to yearn for that experience. But again, the more we look at the experience, the more the hope seems to vanish. One of the main reasons that we're not walking in the reality of it, and I'm not saying we're not, because some of us, we're walking somewhat in the reality of the kingdom. I've been doing that for years. But the thing that hinders us from going on again is seeing and looking according to the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, some of these verses I have meditated over for years. And the more that you really meditate over certain verses and certain things the Lord says to you, the more you will come into the reality of what He's revealing in these days. Romans 8:28. Probably isn't a Christian who doesn't know this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. If you can believe these next few verses, and we know we believe it, but we really don't. We don't believe it because, again, the moment you look at your experience in the carnal realm, the more you look at, you know, where this flesh is, you in one sense you believe this, in the other sense you believe more your experience and you do what this says. Mm-hmm. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is so clear. Yeah. Now, religion will tell you that He did foreknow a few. Because whenever you read something like this, you say, for whom he did for no, and then you have to wonder, well, was I one of those? But I'd have to ask you this, who didn't he foreknow? Is there anybody that God did not foreknow? And if he foreknew you, then these verses apply to you. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. And again, that goes back, predestination goes back to what I read you in the beginning. I know my thoughts towards you. And they're thoughts of good and not evil to bring you to an expected end. Because before we ever step foot on this planet or was lowered into this flesh realm, we have been predestinated. Now, I realize there's some overbalanced or unbalanced thoughts about predestination. But predestination simply means that God has a plan for you, and a purpose for you, and an expected end for you, and he will bring you to that end. But it doesn't mean that well, some people say if you stub your toe, that's God's predestination. Or no matter what happens to you, that's God's predestination. If you get sick, that's God's predestination. I don't believe that. The predestination works in this way. And we all know this. The predestination is in the seed. And the seed is Christ. And in Christ, there is no sickness, there is no disease, there is no death. There's only life and life more abundantly. And that's the life all of us have to begin to focus on and believe rather than what we experience. Yes. And the only way you can do that is to learn to control the thoughts that come into your mind. Mm-hmm. Because we're no different than the story of Genesis where they were placed in a garden with the two trees, good and evil and life. We were placed in this garden. This is God's garden to grow all the lovely things of Christ within our being. But being in this garden, we have the choice just like they did. You choose life or you choose good and evil. And because we were lowered into this flesh realm, we lost all identity of who we are, where we came from, and we're raised in this consciousness of good and evil. And that's the choice we have to make every day of our life. Now, you have been predestinated, and God is bringing you to an expected end. But how long is that going to take? I think that's where your choice comes in. Some people don't believe we have a choice. Well, we do. We have a choice. And the choices you make determine how long it's going to take for that seed in you to begin to come forth and to begin to manifest and reveal the glory of God in these earthen vessels. The only battle there is the battle for the mind. And whoever gets the mind gets the man. If it's the carnal realm, if it's the carnal mind, if it's the flesh man, no matter how religious, no matter how good, if he's living in that realm of good and evil, he will never mature into the kingdom of God and walk in the kingdom of God in reality. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things that anybody ever does, yet it's also very simple, and that is to begin to take dominion over the thoughts that enter into your mind. And it's a real good idea for everybody, if you're not practicing that, to begin to do it. Because until we have full control over what enters our mind, you will never live in full victory, you'll never live in full peace, you'll never really understand the things of God if you're living out of this religious, carnal mind. One of the biggest confusions, I believe, today among Christians is they do not have a proper knowledge and concept of God. We still have mixed feelings about God being good or evil. And, you know, if God forbid man to eat of the good and evil, why would he himself be good and evil? and be responsible for certain things that happen to us, like a lot of people teach. A lot of people think that if I get a bum foot, that's God's will for my life to teach me something. And I guarantee you, everything that you go through will teach you something. All things work together for good, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And we need to believe that. And many times when we have a problem like this, we center on the problem, and we fight the problem, and we do warfare against the problem, and I can promise you, the more you fight against something in your life that's wrong, the more real it's going to become to you. It's like fighting sin. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the more you try to do good, the more that thing will grab you and pull you down into the carnal realm, because that's what the law of sin and death does. The principle of good and evil will always pull you down and keep you in the carnal realm. So, you know, we got into confession a few years ago. And so something like this happened, you say, there's nothing wrong with my foot. There's nothing wrong with my foot. There's nothing wrong with my foot. The very fact that you say that proves that you really believe there's something wrong with your foot. But, you know, we have tried so many things. Those of us who have been through the run of religion, we've tried killing the flesh, denying the flesh. We've tried confessing the word. We've tried believing the word. We've tried everything except believing what this says. And then not letting anything else enter our minds. Because it's in the mind. We have no idea the power that's in our mind. And it's our mind that keeps us in darkness and separation from the reality of God in our spirit. So anyway, he said, whom he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, he called. Remember now, this is for the people he foreknew, which is everybody.
Yeah.
It's not a selective few. Who he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. Now, what do you believe? This or what you're experiencing today? Would you believe this or believe what your mind tells you? Because remember Romans 12:11 says that they overcame him, what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And it says that the accuser accused them before God day and night. Where's God? Where is he? Here. Where does he accuse you? Before God, in your mind, before God, in your spirit, you will be accused day and night. Every lying, conniving thing to bring you down and to hold you into carnality and to keep your ego alive comes right out of the mind.
Woodpecker.
You know, the woodpecker's out there, Peggy. Go get him.
Yeah.
It's a sign.
It's a sign.
See, we've strived so hard, and we've been so hard on ourselves because we cannot believe. This is just too darned easy to believe this. Yet if you can believe it, it will stop all of the striving. It will stop all the negativity. And it does take a lot. But see, I've been practicing this for probably 25 years. But it's easier for people today than it was 25 years ago, because God is beginning to pull back the veil that's been over our eyes.
Yeah.
And we're beginning to understand now that we are spiritual people. And you have always been. And always what you have believed, always what you have believed has come to pass for you. Right now, you are a product of what you've believed all of your life. Because you are a manifestation of God in the Spirit, and you are a spiritual being, you create that which you are experiencing today. You've created it, all of us. I've created this. Don't ask me how, if I knew I wouldn't be there. But there's certain things that happen in this realm that just happen. We don't ask for it. But until our minds are fully renewed and we begin to operate fully out of the mind of Christ, we'll always have these fleshy problems. Whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he glorified. And the only way that you can come into the experience of that is to begin to really quiet this mind and spend that time we need to spend in meditation for that spiritual being that we are to begin to be enlightened and strengthened. The one thing that'll cure all of our ills, no matter what it is to hear the voice of God. Confession won't work for you, I promise you. You can try. I mean, I've confessed things for 20 years that never happened. That's not going to work. I'll tell you what will work. You hear the voice of God, and you confess that, and that'll work. Yet, the majority of the time, we don't hear the voice of God because we really don't even know how to hear the voice of God. What we hear, 90% of the time, we think it's the voice of God. It's what comes into this mind. And the reason that is because, again, we've had very few people on this earth who really learn to hear the voice of God. Instead of what comes in the mind. You can be praying. God, show me your will. God, what do you want? And something won't come into your mind. I want you to go to Africa or anything. I mean, the carnal religious mind will have you running in circles. And people will swear to you, God told me to do this. And 2 weeks later, I want to think of an example of that. I've had lots of them. Because somebody told me one time, this is a good example. Somebody told me one time, they called me up and they said, Gary, I was just before the Lord. And I saw the most glorious vision of you. And you were all just covered with gold. And the Lord spoke to me out of the vision and said, here is a man who I've raised up from the dunghill to make them a prince among my people. Well, about 3 months later, I was ministering and I said something that sounded new age to this person. Sounded like it wasn't right. And so they began to write letters across the country telling people, you know, that I was new age and all this and stay away from me. So I called this person up and I said, do you remember when you had that vision of me and God told you that I was all, you know, covered in gold and I was a prince among his people? Yeah, I said, well, did God change his mind or did you? And I was in another meeting one night.
What did he say?
No comment. I was in a meeting one night where a pastor asked me to come and minister. And we were in worship. His wife stood up and she said, God just gave me a vision of you and told me, again, she said you were all dressed in front. She said, God told me that he had sent you here as a king to bring the word. That's not exactly what she said, but it was similar to that. Well, I spoke that night and the pastor and his wife never spoke to me again. And because if somebody can be speaking, and in your mind it's something totally than what you've ever heard in your life, and your mind will tell you that's heresy, or that's new age, or that's something else. So how do you hear God? The only way you hear God is through inspiration. It's Job that said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. So how do you get inspiration? Through intuition. You've heard a lot about women's intuition? Mm-hmm. Well, men have it too. But
no,
it's usually not developed in men,
yeah,
really.
It's more the female.
But how you learn to hear the voice of God is don't... Now, I'm not saying... There's times when you may hear something here that may be God, but you those really need to be tested. Mm-hmm. But when you're in meditation or you're just... Sometimes you're not... You might be walking down the street and you just sense something. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you sense to do something, let's say you're sitting in a meeting and you have a, you look at somebody over there and you have a sense that they need something and perhaps I should, you know, slip some money in their pocket. That's intuition. The next thing you'll hear is, I don't know, you know, that's probably just whatever. So your mind will come in and steal away what your spirit is trying to tell you. So if we practice, and we need to teach people this, that are hungry for God, to teach them to learn to follow their intuition and their inspiration rather than what comes through the mind. Now, I love the scriptures. But again, it's like the Word of God is a two-edged sword. One side of it will give you life and the other side will kill you. Well, we've been reading this for years and being killed by it because we read it as the letter and not the spirit. But every time, I know I say this repeatedly, but every time God speaks to you through inspiration or intuition, that's where all the faith comes from. It comes from really knowing deep inside. Sally was talking a little bit about this last night. She didn't feel like God spoke to her, but she just knew inside she was supposed to do something. That's the voice.
Oftentimes it is a knowing.
It's a knowing.
Yeah.
It's a knowing.
I didn't know that.
But anyway, these things, so simple. He foreknew us. He predestinated us. He called us, He justified us, and He glorified us. Every one of us, right now, today, in this present moment, are glorified beings.
Amen.
But you know what? It's all imprisoned in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
The carnal, natural mind keeps that beautiful substance of His life locked up within us because we look at our condition and we look at our experience. And experience will never change until you begin to renew this mind. And I can show you where Paul taught this in Ephesians. If we would just, I'm just going to go through and point out some of these things. If we would begin to believe this and reject what our mind tells us, remember, the accuser of the brethren is not some devil out here somewhere. The accuser is right in the mind, accusing you before God day and night. And that's why when you read things like this, you can't believe it because your mind will rob it from you. Jesus said, you know, some men hear the truth and the birds of the air come and rob and steal what was sown in the mind. Well, Paul says here, and I'm just going to go through this quick. I'm sorry, it's Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, but I'm just going to quickly point out things. First of all, He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's chosen us before the foundation of the world. He's predestinated us. He's accepted us in the Beloved. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, how rich is His grace? See, I used to feel when I'd repeatedly commit the same sin over and over and over again, and I'd confess over and over and over again, I finally got the feeling like, God must be getting tired of this. And then there's an Old Testament scripture that says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Well, that put me under in a hurry. But that's not what this says. This says, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So I learned I could not out-sin grace. Go ahead and try it. You cannot out-sin grace. And you have to begin to realize these things before you can be set free from your habits. He's made known to us the mystery of His will. We have an inheritance being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. Why have we, for 2,000 years we've had all of this, and we're still imprisoned by the thoughts and the negativity that enters our mind. We should be to the praise of His glory. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you hath He made alive in chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, He hath made us alive together with Christ, for by grace are you saved. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ.
Oh my.
I'll tell you what, when you start to believe this stuff and start rejecting the accuser of the brethren, you will... It's unbelievable what you begin to come into. And you realize it's only your mind. Nobody can do anything to you. Nobody can discourage you. It all is right here. Every bit of negativity and problems that we have are because we have not spent enough time in meditation and in worship and in praise and in just rejecting the thoughts that would keep us imprisoned. Even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up together and seated us together in heavenly places in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Now listen to this one. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then He talks to the Gentiles here. He's talking to the Christians, but includes the Gentiles. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His place the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of two one new man. And in verse 9 He says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, He's just revealed to us just those few things. If we spend enough time just in opening to the Lord to receive the truth and meditate on these scriptures and these thoughts and begin to reject that accuser of the brethren, you realize why Paul said what he did in chapter 4. And this is what I wrote a series of books on. This I say, therefore. Now, He just told you all of this stuff. You've been chosen in Him. You've been raised in Him. You've been reconciled. You've been forgiven. You've been predestinated. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Yeah.
That sums up the whole thing that I just said. Because of the blindness of our heart, we are alienated and separated from the life of God in our spirit because of all the negativity and the accuser of the brethren and all the way we look at ourselves and the way we appraise ourselves. And I'll tell you what, there's not a more beautiful people on the earth than we are. And you can begin to see that in everyone. Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. How do you know me? Do you know me as somebody that's kind of broken down and a bad foot? That's the natural. I mean, you can't help but see that. But beyond that, knowing no man after the flesh is knowing that no matter what the appearance is, the reality is, we are here as sons of God on this earth to manifest, reveal, and to reconcile all of creation back to God. But as long as you're looking at your condition, but God has made the provision. And going back to Jeremiah 29:11, I know my thoughts towards you, thoughts of good and not evil. And so many people, because of the confusion, because living by good and evil, the moment they get something wrong with them, it's very easy to say, well, God is giving me this, perhaps to teach me something. And the moment you attribute works of evil or not good to God, you don't understand God. Now, again, I'm not saying that, you know, what's wrong with you will not, there's, all things work together for good. But God is not responsible for putting a cancer on you or anything else to hurt you in any way for any corrective or punitive thing. It's simply because we're living in a realm of good and evil. And the only way to come out of that is the renewing of the mind. There is so many, I know I used to read this for about 13 years, and I had to eventually quit because I got more death out of it than I got life, because I'd see all these things about, you know, the sinners and the evildoers, and rather than read the things and understand the things of life, because there are two, I don't want to say there's two lives operating in us because there's only one life, but in appearance, there's two lives in us. One of them is this person that's striving to do good and walking according to a performance to get God to bless us. But then the other life is what we call Isaac. Isaac is the son. And the son just inherits everything from the father without any works or any effort. Isaac is just receives everything that God has. And that's what we're learning to do. We're learning that we do not have to earn or perform in any way to get anything from God. In fact, when you perform is when you fail more than if you just relax and flow. God is flow. We all know that. God is flowing. And Jesus said something interesting. He said, resist not evil. You know why that is? Well, it's like I said earlier. If I begin to resist and rebuke what is wrong with me, I give strength to it. What we need to do is flow with whatever's happening to us. We flow with it. We have to see that these things are all temporary. And so by not giving credence to it and not fighting it, an example of that, the doctors told me, without going into detail, there's absolutely no way that foot would ever be repaired. Yet it's being repaired. But I guarantee if I had worried about it and fought it, it may never. Because I just agree with what the doctor said. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know of anything any more important that God's people need to know today than to take dominion over this mind. And I believe that's the only legitimate warfare, at least for me. There may be other types, but for me, the warfare has always been the warfare over the mind. Where Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Mm-hmm. And that we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Mm-hmm. See, your mind will tell you that's impossible. You could never take every thought captive. Well, as long as you let that accuser stay there, he's absolutely right, because it's impossible for you to do that until you realize there's someone in you, there's a life in you that knows no bounds and no limitations. There's a life in you that can't be defeated, discouraged, put down. And as that life begins to come forth in us, it's really that life in us that takes dominion over this mind. We really can't do it. But we can believe what God tells us and then begin to reject those thoughts. You can't stop thoughts from coming into your mind. Like, well, I've said this before too, but when the doctor once pronounced cancer on me that I had cancer. The moment somebody does that, if a doctor says you have cancer and you begin to meditate on that, and all the fears come in, and
you have cancer then.
And you probably do anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm not saying that it's a lie. I mean, if my body has cancer, I'm not going to say that's a lie. But I'll tell you what I am going to do. I'm not going to think about it. And This has been a few years ago when it happened, but I had absolutely no fear. I only had one thing come to me. What do I need to do? Do I need to go to a doctor? What do I need to do? That's all I needed to know. But to think about it and to meditate on it, and I know how difficult that would be. But see, when cancer was pronounced on me, I'd been very well practiced in not letting this kind of stuff, stay in my mind. You can't stop the thoughts from coming, but you can stop dwelling on them. Mm-hmm. You really can. Because when you dwell on them is when you go into depression. It's horrible, those thoughts. I used to let those kind of things get into me. I've been depressed to where I've been in bed for 3 or 4 days. I wouldn't even want to get out of bed. I'd be so depressed. So the mind is the most powerful thing in the universe, because in reality, you have the mind of Christ. We haven't learned how to use it. And we're calling it a carnal mind. There is no such thing as a carnal mind. But that's what we call a mind that is not functioning in its right mind. We're somewhat insane, all of us, because we're not functioning totally out of the mind of Christ. So, again, simple belief. Jesus, Hebrews says, is the author and finisher of your faith. You can believe it or not believe it. If you don't believe it, you'll try to finish it and you'll never get there. But if you can believe it and rest in that, and then when your flesh does get the best of you, you won't condemn yourself because you know, well, God's still got some work to do to me. I'm not finished yet. But I cannot. It's impossible to get me under condemnation because I know my flesh better than anybody else. And I know that, God is still working in me, but it's His working and His willing to do that which He desires to do in me. Isn't that wonderful?
And if all is gloom and doom, and then you remember who you are.
Absolutely.
It's a very quick deliverance.
I'll give you another example of just recently that happened to Carolyn and myself. We got stuck in one of those crazy loans. We refinanced our house. They gave us a real low interest rate, of course. And in 2 years, it would go on the adjustable, like thousands of people have done all over the country now. And the only reason I fell for it, I'm sure I wasn't listening for God's voice in it, because I didn't hear it anyway. But, things are so, in that case, it made so much sense. And I said, here, we can have these low house payments for 2 years. And at the end of 2 years, they said, just refinance. And there is no logical reason that I couldn't refinance. We bought homes. Our credit, it was absolutely A1. There's no reason. I thought, that's a good deal. I'll get low payments for 2 years. I'll just refinance. When the 2 years was up, there was not one loan company that would talk to us to refinance. And our payments went up $700 a month.
Whoa.
Well, there we were, like everybody else. We couldn't make the payments. So we put the house up for sale. It was a year and a half. Nobody even looked at it. That's got to be God. Anyway, here we are. We can't make the payments. So Carol and I realized we're just going to have to do what everybody else does. We're going to walk away from it. So what do we do? You know what? We didn't worry about it. We just said, let's start looking at apartments. Let's look around and see, So we were visiting down in Florida, ministering in Florida, and a friend of ours lives down there. And she said, I don't know how it meant. I think we mentioned we were looking for an apartment or something. And she said, I've got a house down the street and around the corner that's been empty for about a year. And she said, why don't you come and look at it? So we went and looked at it, and it's the most gorgeous home you can imagine in a gated community. And this happens for us. I mean, most of you know our story. Everything that happens to us, even if it's bad, it comes out better in the end. It does. My sister used to say, you could fall in an outhouse and come out smelling like a rose, But it's simply because we really believe that God takes care of us. And we're not trying to believe it, we believe it. Now, in some other areas, one up in hell. I believe God is my healer, but I'm not walking there yet. So we all have areas that need to be opened up. But that's what God is doing. He's opening our eyes, the eyes of the blind, so that we can begin to really walk in this kingdom life. It's fabulous.
This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, please write Gary and Carol Sigler, that's S like Sam, I-G-L-E-R, 135 Chinquapin, that's C-H-I-N-Q-U-A-P-I-N, Drive, in Brunswick, Georgia, 31523. Our telephone number is area code 912-275-8585. All of our messages are distributed on a no-charge basis as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution.